We'd like to ask Mr. Larry Spivey to come forward for the opening prayer.
Father, our great Creator, we come before you on this holy day, thanking you, Father, for the privilege of being here, thanking you that you've called us into this wonderful way of life at this time, ahead of the rest of the world. It's a privilege indeed, and Father, we're just very grateful to you for that. We ask your blessing today as Mr. Harrell speaks to us, that you will inspire him with a message you'd like for us to hear, and Father, help us as listeners that we'll be able to receive this and make it a part of our lives. We give you thanks for all the blessings that you give us, and now we just turn this service over into your hands, and we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen. Brethren, the feast you and I are here celebrating is a wonderful time in the plan of our God. It pictures a time of peace upon this earth when God will send Jesus Christ to come to this earth and rule for 1,000 years. And with this rule, our Savior will bring about peace and prosperity upon this earth that our minds will not comprehend. The Feast of Tabernacles gives us a glimpse into the future, and it shows us of a wonderful time upon this earth when mankind can learn to live the way of our God. And this will be the title today, A Glimpse into the Future. With this glimpse into the future, this book, God's Word, tells us of coming destruction upon this earth. It also tells us about God's protection. And it tells us about Jesus Christ and his coming reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. These are what we want to focus on in this message today. The destruction, God's protection, and the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ upon this earth. We have to get through some destruction upon this earth, and God tells us that there's never been a time like it. But God has given us a glimpse into the future of what is to take place. And with this, he also gives us a look at his protection that he will afford. You and I understand that there will be some that will live on until the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And with that, we understand that God will offer protection to some who will live into that 1,000-year reign. The name that God has bestowed upon us, the Church of God, the Church of God, PKG, says a lot. God understood the destruction that was coming upon this earth, and he understood that there would be a people at the end that would have to be prepared to face the issues that would be here. So God has bestowed on you and I the name Church of God, preparing for the kingdom of God. You could be turning to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Our God instructs us on a way that we have to be prepared. And in Proverbs 24 and verse 3, God tells us, through wisdom, a house is built. That's how it's done, brethren. And by understanding, it is established. So you and I, as the Church of God, at the end of an age, will have to have a lot of understanding about the plan of God. The God of this universe is giving you and I more understanding of what has to take place. Without this understanding, it would be very devastating. You and I have to look forward and look through what is to take place upon this earth. And it is by understanding of what is taking place, and it's through the truth that our God makes the understanding possible about what he is doing upon this earth. and that it is about the kingdom of God that is going to be established on this earth. God has to give you and I understanding, and that is given through His Spirit to us, the Church of God, PKG. It's how that understanding is established, and it is established through the mind. Verse 4 we find, by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. And it does give you strength. When you understand these words, it gives you knowledge, and with knowledge comes strength. Verse 6. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. And it is a war, brethren, a spiritual war against beings, powerful beings, Satan and the demons. But their time is limited. We are on a countdown, and they will be removed and restrained for 1,000 years. God tells us that by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And that's a very true statement. Verse 10, God tells us, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. God told you and I upon whom the end of the age has come, those of us who find ourselves in Laodicea. He told us to repent and be zealous. It's what we are instructed to do. We turn into Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. There is so much that God tells us through the Psalms. And you don't have to turn there, but be turning to Ezekiel 37. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. David knew and understood that our God would keep His promise. There's been many promises made to the Church of God. David understood that every good thing would come his way in God's time. Ezekiel 37 and verse 18, we find, this is a glimpse into the future where some of these promises will be fulfilled. And David understood that God would keep His promise. Ezekiel 37 and verse 18, when the children of your people speak to you saying, will you not show us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will join with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, let's note it, and one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David understood that every good thing would come his way in God's time. And God tells us that David, my servant, shall be king over them. David's been in the grave a long, long time. But this tells us that he will be the king. And they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwell. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them. And let's notice, I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Eternal, sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. Our God has called each of us to a calling that our minds will not comprehend. We cannot even imagine it, but God gives us a glimpse into the future. He says it's like looking through a dark glass, but he gives us enough that we can understand. Psalms 37, and we'll start in verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither is the green herb. Trust in the Eternal and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Eternal, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And it's like I said earlier, our minds cannot comprehend what he has in store for his people. Verse 5 tells us, commit your way to the Eternal, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice is the noonday. Rest in the Eternal and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off. It will come about, brethren. It will come to pass. And it won't be long now. We are on account there. And this is the time that you and I are here celebrating, the Feast of Tabernacles. And it is the time when all evildoers will be cut off. It's a time when Jesus Christ will reign upon this earth and will teach mankind the correct way to live. But those who wait on the Eternal, let's notice, they shall inherit the earth. And in verse 10, for yet a little while, God's time. It's God's time, and it will be his time for 1,000 years. And the wicked shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. But it's in God's time. And God is giving you a glimpse into the future about his time. The 1,000-year reign of his Son, Jesus Christ, upon this earth. It's not far away, brother. It is in sight. And we are on a countdown. The wicked plot against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Eternal laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that the righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Eternal upholds the righteous. God's protection, brother. The Eternal knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. That's verse 18. Let's notice verse 19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. And the Church of God, those who have lived through their apostasy, understand these words, because we have been like a well-watered garden in the middle of the desert. And we were satisfied in the days of famine. We turn into Matthew 10. Brethren, it should bring you to your knees to understand what your God is offering you. It should bring you to your knees to understand why he has called you. And it is about what we are celebrating this year. The kingdom of God upon this earth. And it's why you were called to be a part. Whether it be in the 144,000, or whether it be to live on into the reign of Jesus Christ. Matthew 10 and verse 34, God says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And it's a blessing to understand what and why these things are coming upon this earth. And God has told the Church of God so that we can prepare. He has given us understanding so that we can prepare for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. Verse 35. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. And there are many new ones that have been called to become a part of God's church and to live on into the return of Jesus Christ. And God has given you understanding of some of the things that you will have to face. Once God started to call you, you started to understand that the enemies that you may have to face could be those of your own family and of your very own friends. God tells us that he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy. And as God started to call you, you began to understand the order of things. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Strong words. We need to know and understand these words. God tells us that whoever does not take his cross and follow him is not worthy. And sometimes it's hard when it's our family members. And we just want them to understand what is coming upon this earth. And it's at this point in time that you begin to realize that it's not their time. You start to realize that God has an order of things. And he's called you. And it's not their time. But it will be. You have to understand God's time. And that's what we are here celebrating. God's time. The Feast of Tabernacles. When it will be God's time upon this earth. And he's given us a glimpse of what it will be like in the future kingdom. You turn into Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2 in verse 6. And let's see what Isaiah had to say. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Joseph, let's notice, because they are filled with Eastern ways. And this shows that it's talking about religious practices. Let's notice, they are soothsayers like the Philistines. And they are pleased with the children of foreigners. The land is also full of silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. And this has been one of the richest nations on the face of the earth, along with the others that are part of modern-day Israel. We can see before the time of their punishment comes, we can see through God's word that there is no end to their treasures. And you can go to any of these countries that are part of modern-day Israel. And it references in the next verse that there is no end to their chariots. And we put this in modern-day words when we look around at the automobiles on the road in all of these countries. Modern-day chariots. There seems to be no end to these chariots. God tells us that their land is also full of idols. And when we look around, we understand that man worships the work of his own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And those things become their gods and the work of their hands. And it's what most people live for today in the modern society. They live for the things that they can buy, and that becomes their God. But God tells us that man is going to be humbled. In verse 6 we find, and this is primarily talking about Jacob and his descendants. We know that eventually all man is going to be brought low. We know that all of mankind in time will be humbled. Isaiah 2 and verse 9. So man is humbled and men are brought low. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from before the terror of the eternal and from the glory of his majesty. The haughty looks of man shall be brought low, and the pride of men shall be humbled. It will come to pass. It will take place, and we live at this time. We are on a countdown when man is going to be humbled. Our God is going to be exalted. The day that he is talking about is one that there are many prophecies about, that you and I, those that have been around for a while, have heard for many years. Verse 12, for the Eternal of Hosts has a day, let's notice, against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up and high, against all the people, especially the ones filled with pride. Verse 17, and the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the pride of men shall be brought low. And the Eternal alone in that day will be exalted. And the idols shall utterly pass away. And men shall enter the caves of the rocks and the holes of the ground from before the terror of the Eternal and from the glory of His majesty when He rises to terrify the earth. In that day men will cast forth their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, to the moles and to the bats, and they don't seem important anymore. And they will enter the caverns of the rocks and the clefts of the cliffs from before the terror of the Eternal and from the glory of His majesty when He rises to terrify the earth. Our God is going to intervene in the affairs of this world in a powerful way. This world has been left to its own ways, but it's coming to an end. Been left to form its own governments and its own way of doing business, but it's going to come to an end. Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63 and verse 1. Our God is preparing a people for His kingdom, those who will be a part of the 144,000, and those who will live on into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And in that preparation, He has given us understanding of the words of His book, so that we can prepare for what is ahead. And He has given us a glimpse into the future. In Isaiah 63 and verse 1 we find, "Who is this that comes from Edom in crimson garments from Bozrah? He that is glorious in his apparel, marching in greatness of his strength. It is I, announcing vindication, and let's notice, mighty to save." Sometimes we just read through this. "Mighty to save." Our God is preparing a people who will understand why it has to be done the way it is being done. And you can see the purpose that is being announced. Mighty to save. It's about the plan of God, brethren, but there is a way that it has to be done. God has given us a glimpse of how it has to be done. And this is speaking of Jesus Christ when He treads out the winepress, as mentioned in verse 2. And a question is asked, "Why is your apparel red and your garments like His that treads the winepress?" And He answers in verse 3, "I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. I trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath. Their lifeblood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. For the day of vengeance was in my heart," and let's notice, "and my year of redemption has come." It's a time when our God will intervene, and your eyes will see some awesome sights. There is coming a time when our God will tread the winepress. Can we see why we have to be prepared as the Church of God for the events that will take place upon this earth? Can we understand why we are called Church of God PKG? It's because your mind has to be prepared for what is coming as the kingdom of God comes to this earth. And it will take the great God of this universe to prepare you. Prepare your mind for the events that will take place. Verse 5, "I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled, but there was no one to uphold. So my own arm brought me victory, and my wrath upheld me. I trod down the peoples in my anger. I made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth." It's a glimpse into the future. And you and I have to understand death from God's viewpoint, not from ours. We have to look beyond these events and understand the plan of God. And that in the resurrection, they will be in a wonderful world where they can be taught the truth. And it will be a much better world, a world where Jesus Christ has ruled for 1,000 years. It will be a wonderful time for them to come up into. Isaiah 13 and verse 2. Isaiah 13 and verse 2. "On a bare hill, raise a signal, cry aloud to them. Wave the hand for them to enter the gates of the nobles. I myself have commanded," let's notice, "my consecrated ones, have summoned my mighty men to execute my anger, my proudly exalting ones. They come from a distant land," verse 5. And back up in verse 4, we see that the Lord of hosts is mustering, let's notice, a host for battle. And they come from a distant land, from the end of the heavens, the eternal in the weapons of his indignation, to destroy the whole earth. Well, for the day of the Lord is near. As destruction from the Almighty, it will come. Therefore, all hands will be feeble, and every man's heart will melt, and they will be dismayed. Pains and agony will seize them. They will be in anguish like a woman in travail. They will look aghast at one another. Their faces will be aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the earth a desolation, let's notice, and to destroy its sinners from it. I will punish, verse 11, the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will put an end to the pride of the arrogant and lay low the haughtiness of the ruthless. I will make men more rare than fine gold and mankind than the gold of Ophir. And when I read through this, it always brings to mind about Ezekiel, what Ezekiel had to say about the third, and a tithe of the last third. And that is all that is left. And it's a preview from our God. It's a glimpse into the future. Verse 13. I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken out of its place, in the wrath of the Eternal of Hosts, in the day of his fierce anger. So can you understand why God has to prepare your mind for these events that will take place in your future? Zephaniah 1 and verse 14. For those that are new, it's close to Zechariah. Zephaniah 1 and verse 14. And it pictures a time when our God will intervene in this world. And he tells us that the great day of the Eternal is near. And it is near. And it's just a short time away. Verse 15. Zephaniah 1, let's see, verse 14. The noise of the day of the Eternal is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Just a preview of what is to come upon this earth. Verse 16, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities, against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Eternal. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. So glimpse into the future, and we have to take a different view of death. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Eternal's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. And let's notice. For he will make speedy riddance of those who dwell in the land. Brethren, we have a merciful God, and he knows best. We understand that his plan is for all of mankind, all that have ever lived. He has a plan to bring his government to this earth and to set up the kingdom of God upon this earth. And we have to understand the plan of God to understand these words and why they were said in this manner. We understand our God is a merciful God, and it's why you do have to understand the plan of God. Brethren, it's through death that it takes to get man's attention. In the days of Moses and Aaron, it's what it took to get Pharaoh's attention. It took death. And it's no different in the times that you and I live in, when man realizes he has been dead and he has been in the ground for over 1,000 years. Some much longer. It's not as hard to get his attention when he realizes that it is the great God of this universe that has the power of life and the power of death. Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24, and we'll start in verse 1. God lets you and I know what's in store for his church, and he gives us a glimpse into the future. God says in Isaiah 24 and verse 1, behold, the Eternal makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface, scatters abroad its inhabitants. And in verse 3, the land shall be entirely emptied and utterly plundered, for the Eternal has spoken this word. The earth mourns and fades away, The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants, unless noticed, because they have transgressed the laws, because they have changed the ordinance, because they have broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. The new wine fails, the vine languishes, all the merry-hearted sigh, the mirth of the tambourine ceases, the noise of the jubilant ends, the joy of the heart ceases. They shall not drink wine for their song. Strong beer is better to those who drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up so that none may go in. There is a cry for wine in the street. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. And the city of desolation is left, and the gate is stricken with destruction. When it shall be thus in the midst of the land, among the people, let's notice, it shall be like the shaking of an olive tree, like the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing, for the majesty of the Eternal, they shall cry aloud from the sea. Therefore glorify the Eternal in the dawning light, and it is a new time upon this earth. The name of the Eternal God of Israel in the coastlands of the sea. From the ends of the earth we have heard songs, glory to the righteous. But I say it, I am ruined, ruined, woe to me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Fear in the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall be, let's notice, that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. There's no escape, let's notice. For the wonders from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth are shaken. The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. Verse 21. It shall come to pass in that day that the Eternal will punish on high the host of the exalted ones, and on the earth the kings of the earth. Exalted ones. It's talking about Satan, brother. The ones who rebelled at the beginning. Satan and the demons. And they will be gathered. Hold your place here and let's turn to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. They shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit. And will be shut up in the prison. And we know that Satan will be shut up for 1,000 years. And we find in Revelation 20 and verse 1, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. God gives us a glimpse into the future of how it will be done. I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those, correct word here is cut off. Some translations say beheaded, but it's a word that simply means cut off. For their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark, his mark, on their foreheads or on their hands. And let's notice. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. A glimpse into the future for the church of God. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. And it tells us what it's about. Let's notice. It's about the first resurrection. And God says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. A glimpse into the future. Back to Isaiah 23, verse 23. Then the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed. For the eternal of hosts will reign, let's notice the time frame, on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his elders gloriously. Let's turn over to the Psalms. Psalms 31. With what's coming upon this earth, as we said earlier, we will need protection from our God. And we know from the scriptures that he will do this for some who will live into the millennium to be a part of the church of God. Psalms 31 and in verse 1, David said, "In you, O eternal, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, the fortress of defense to save me." With what's ahead for us and for this earth, we will have to put all our trust in our God more than ever. And as verse 3 tells us, God says he is our rock and our fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. And that's what he's doing. He's leading you and he's guiding you in his truth. He has opened your mind to give you understanding of these words so that you can understand what is coming upon this earth and understand that you will need his protection as never before. Because there has never been a time like this upon this earth, and there never will be again, a time of Jacob's trouble. Verse 4, he has pulled you out of the net, and you do understand. And David understood, and he said, "Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength." David understood where his strength came from. You and I will have to understand, just as David did, where our strength and protection will come from. It is the great God of this universe who has to prepare your mind for what's ahead. And that's where you will have to draw your strength from your understanding of your God's plan. Verse 5, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O eternal God of truth." It's how he has done it. It's through the truth. And in verse 20, our God will have to be our protection. And he tells us, "You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man." It's how God will do it. It will take God to protect you. "You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." And back over in Psalms 27, it's just back a few pages, we find Psalms 27 and verse 4. There are many scriptures in the Psalms about a place of refuge in a time of trouble. And David said in Psalms 27 and verse 4, "One thing I have desired of the Eternal, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Eternal all the days of my life." And it should be the same for us. It should be what we desire. To behold the beauty of the eternal. Do we see the beauty in the plan, brethren? Do we understand the destruction? But do you see beyond that and see the beauty of the plan of God and why it has to be done his way? It's a beautiful thing to understand the plan of the God of this universe. It's a wonderful thing to come before your God on his Sabbath and to learn more about this plan. It's a wonderful privilege, and I hope you understand what a privilege it is. Verse 5, "For in the time of trouble," let's notice, "he shall hide." The Hebrew word here means to hedge in, to hide or hedge me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. "He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." And in Psalms 91, turn over there, Psalms 91, verse 1, God tells us, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." God's protection, brother. And it's where you want to be with what's coming upon this earth. You want to be under the protection of your God. Verse 2, "I will say of the Eternal, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth, let's notice, his truth shall be your shield and your buckler. In Psalms 32 and verse 6, as the events start to unfold, those things that God has given us, a glimpse into the future, there will be much pressure put upon the people of God. We will need to be strengthened by God through these hard and difficult times that will be here. Psalms 32 and verse 6, for this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you. In a time when you may be found, surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. Verse 7, let's notice, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. And that's what you're hearing about, a preview of the future. The Feast of Tabernacles, a time of deliverance. Verse 8, and it's God who will prepare you. Prepare your mind for what's ahead. And he says in verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the eternal, let's notice, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the eternal and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. It's because you understand the plan of God that you will shout for joy, because you understand what's ahead for mankind, and that it will be a wonderful place for man upon this earth in just a very short time. God says he will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. And we can look back in the history of the Church of God and tell this is so. Our way is not long anymore, and we can see the end. We are closer than we have ever been. And we are on a countdown. And it's like birth pains. And we are getting closer and closer. When I listen to the news, the financial institutions are just crumbling. Nobody seems to be paying attention. Just kind of sweep it under the rug and it's business as usual. But it's like birth pains. God says he will teach us in the way that we should go, and that we should shout for joy. And we should, because of the truth that he has revealed to us, his church. Psalm 71. Psalm 71 in verse 1. In you, O eternal, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hands of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. And in verse 7, let's notice what David said. I have become a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. You and I can relate to this scripture very well. There's some that have thought you have lost your mind. And you have become just as David did, a wonder to many because of what you see. But God is our strong refuge, just as David, just as it was to David. Verse 8, let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. We should thank our God for calling us out of this world and giving us the understanding of what is in our future, the glimpse into the future. Moses said these words, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. That's when he became before the great God of this universe. Moses saw some awesome sights when he was living upon this earth. There's going to be a lot of trembling in our future before we get to what we are celebrating, this Feast of Tabernacles. You and I, if we get to live to the end, we'll see some terrifying sights. And as I said, they saw some terrifying sights in the day of Moses. in the land of Egypt. But that's nothing compared to the time that you live in, the time of the end of an age, when you have a front row seat for the most awesome sights that man will ever see upon this earth as this age of Satan comes to an end. We know that there are two on the scene. There are two now that will help bring this age of Satan to a close. And there will be some awesome sights for you to see as the Church of God. It's a privilege that has been granted to see these sights at the end of an age. And I hope you understand the value of it all. Turning to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and down in verse 22. God tells us that we have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the God of this universe, the Creator God, the living God. And in Hebrews 12 and verse 22, he tells us that we've come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. In verse 23, let's notice. That's what this is today. It is the assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. God has given us a glimpse into the future, and it's best we heed who we are coming before at this Feast of Tabernacles. We will see some awesome power of the great God of this universe in our very near future. Verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, let's notice, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. It is approaching the time when we will see the awesome power of our God coming to deliver a people, his church, the Church of God, PKG. And your mind cannot comprehend the power that you will get to see. It will come to pass, and we are on a countdown to the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 26, let's notice. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. What took place during the Exodus is nothing. Satan is not going out without a fight, and he will have awesome power at the end of an age. Verse 27, now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. There will be some who will see the awesome power of our God when he makes his final move to deliver his people, as our Savior begins to reign upon this earth. God tells us that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and this is at our door. We are just about there. This is what this feast is about, a glimpse into the future. It pictures a time when the kingdom that cannot be shaken will be here upon this earth, and it's what this Feast of Tabernacles pictures. This earth will be ruled for 1,000 years, and it is a kingdom that will not be shaken, not anymore. The scriptures tell us that our God is a consuming fire. We are on a countdown to when this Feast of Tabernacles will be established on this earth, and we will be able to see what the prophets of old desired to see. They desired to see this kingdom that is coming to this earth. We turn into Zechariah. I hope you understand what you will be privileged to see. We know from the scriptures that there will be some who will live into the millennial reign of our God and Jesus Christ. It's a privilege. It is a privilege to see the sights in the heavens when our God makes his move to deliver his people. A privilege that so many would not be able to see. And I hope you understand the value of your calling. I hope you understand as Moses did, who you are coming before, with this Feast of Tabernacles. The God of this universe has a plan for His church, the Church of God, PKG. And in Zechariah 8 we find, again the word of the Eternal of Hosts came saying, thus says the Eternal of Hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor I am zealous for her. I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Let's notice. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth. You and I understand that it's hard pressed in the world we live in for truth to dwell in anybody or anything. It's full of deception. But God tells us that Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, and that truth will be established upon this earth. The mountain of the Eternal of Hosts, the holy mountain, is where it will be done. Verse 4. Thus says the Eternal of Hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand, because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Brethren, I didn't see any old men and old and young people playing in the streets when we were there. Not so today. Jerusalem is a city of much strife today. When we were there, we could see that it was anything but holy. It's a city of confusion. It's a city of tension. And we could see the tension and the deceptions that were present. But God tells us of a time over in Isaiah, you don't have to turn there, that the children will play by the cobra's hole, and the animals will eat straw. The lion and the ox, the nature of the animals will be changed. And the streets of the city will be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Zechariah 8. God does show us a time of His protection upon this earth when there will be peace. Peace brought to the earth. And God tells us that it will be a time when the children can play in the streets again. It's not safe in most of the cities today. It's just not safe. But God gives us a picture of a time of peace, which this Feast of Tabernacle pictures. And in Zechariah 8 and verse 7, God tells us, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back. And they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Brethren, God tells us of a wonderful time upon this earth when truth and righteousness will be restored to the earth. And He tells us of a time where a system will be set up on this earth by which man can learn to live the correct way. And the prosperity and the happiness that this will produce is beyond our comprehension at this time. But God tells us that there will be old men in the streets and children playing in the streets. And that represents to you and I a time of peace, a time of safety, a time under God's protection. A time when Satan and the demons have been restrained. And God tells us it's a time of truth and a time of righteousness where man can learn to live God's way. The way that God instructs you and I to live. Now, verse 15, God tells us, again in these days I am determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man truth to his neighbor. Just to tell the truth, brother. Just the whole truth. That in itself would make some awesome changes upon this earth. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Most of us don't even know our neighbor. Some of us don't even speak to him. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. It's unheard of. But when God sets up His kingdom upon this earth, it will be truth, justice, and real peace. Verse 17 we find, let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath. For all these things are things that I hate, says the Eternal. There will be a time on this earth when the thing God hates will be changed. and it will be changed at the time we are here celebrating. Once Satan and the demons are chained, there will be 1,000 years of doing things God's way, and it will produce a wonderful time upon this earth. Verse 20, God tells us, people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue and go and pray before the Eternal and seek the Eternal host. I myself will go also. If we did this today, brethren, they would have us in a straitjacket. But God tells us there's a time coming when it will take place. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Eternal of Hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Eternal. So we can see that it will be a different time upon this earth. And God is giving you a glimpse into the future. He has given us a preview of His protection when Satan will be chained and peace can come to the earth. Mankind's mind will be changed to seek the Eternal God of this universe to do what you and I are doing. The reason they are seeking the Eternal is to learn more about their God. That's why they are doing it. You and I are privileged at this time to understand more and more about our God. It's like the 50th truth. We understand more. And it's how God works. And it's a blessing to know more and understand more about your God. That's what these will be doing, seeking to know more about their God. But you and I have this privilege today. And He is preparing your mind through the truth. He is still revealing truth, the 50th truth, the day that Jesus Christ will return. It should bring you to your knees to understand the God of this universe and His plan. It's an awful, awesome privilege to see with your eyes the kingdom of God set up upon this earth, and it should bring you to your knees to understand what you've been offered. Matthew 13. You don't have to turn there. I can just read this one to you. God tells us that blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and they did. You can look all through this book, and you find where so many have asked the question, how long? How long? It was a constant question. You and I live at the time upon this earth that will be unparalleled in man's history. There will never be another time like it. And there's many down through the ages that wanted to see what some of you will be privileged to see. Daniel wanted to see. God told him to shut the book and seal it. And God told him it was for a time at the end when so many prophecies would be fulfilled. You and I live at this time. They wanted to know what the end of it was, brother. They wanted to know. You and I live at the end. We know who the two witnesses are. We know the time frame. God said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And never forget that many desired to see what some of you will be privileged to see. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. God tells us, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. God has revealed them to us, let's notice, through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And brethren, God has revealed the deep things about Himself and His Son at the end of an age to Laodicea, the last era of His church on this earth. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. It's how you know. And it's through the mind that it is accomplished. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know, let's notice, that have been freely given to us by God. It's how you know these things, brethren, through the mind. And there is a great battle taking place for your mind as we come to the end of an age. And as I said in the beginning, we are in a spiritual war. God tells us narrow is the gate that we have to pass through. It's a narrow gate. Jesus said in Luke 18, if you want to note it, will I find faith on the earth when he returns? But we know that there will be some who have made themselves ready. Our God has given us a glimpse into the future. Isaiah 2 and verse 2. Once we get through the horrific events that will take place, God tells us in Isaiah, and it's talking about the kingdom of God that will be established upon this earth, and there will be peace and prosperity that is unparalleled in man's history. And God tells us, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Eternal's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Eternal, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. And let's notice, a time that has never taken place upon this earth, a time when they will beat their plowshares, their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. It's never been in man's history, and it pictures a wonderful time upon this earth. Man will finally be at peace, and nation will not be at war anymore, and all men can learn to live God's way. Satan will be bound, and he will not be able to deceive anymore. He will be bound for 1,000 years, the time frame in God's plan that you and I are here worshiping, the Feast of Tabernacles. And it is a time for rejoicing when this event takes place. God has given you and I a glimpse into the future. What the future holds for the Church of God and for this being called Satan. It's a time when the great God of this universe takes charge of this earth and begins to reign. We turn into Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. It's when Daniel was going before King Nebuchadnezzar to interpret a dream. And it paints us a picture. And in verse 28, Daniel 2 and verse 28, it tells us, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. He's made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. So Daniel was given a glimpse into the future. And Daniel goes ahead and describes this image. And let's pick up the story in verse 32. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thigh of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. We know that this is the description of what was to take place through time until the last kingdoms would be upon the face of the earth. You and I are living at this time when Europe is united. But we know this union will be a fragile union. But you and I are seeing these prophecies being fulfilled before our very eyes. Verse 34. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together, became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. It's a picture of when Jesus Christ will come to this earth and set up the kingdom of God on this earth. It pictures when God's Spirit will be upon this whole earth and all mankind will start to learn the way of peace and learn to live God's way. And in verse 44, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven, let's notice, will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, It's a picture of what our great God is doing, and it's a glimpse into the future of when He begins to set up the kingdom of God upon this earth. It broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. Let's notice. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. And over a few pages, Daniel 7, in verse 9, we'll pick up the story flow. Remember in Revelation 20, where it said thrones would be put in place. And here in Daniel 7, in verse 9, we find God tells us, I watched till thrones were put in place. And the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, his wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, let's notice, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And let's notice verse 14. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. And in verse 27, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. It's a picture, a glimpse into the future, when Jesus Christ begins to rule with 144,000 upon this earth. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. And in Zechariah 14, the conditions that will be brought about by the return of Jesus Christ will usher in a period where there is knowledge of the eternal God of this universe. And everyone will have access to God's Spirit. And it will bring about peace and happiness that our minds cannot comprehend. Zechariah 14 and verse 4. In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. We can see, this is the time when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, and he begins to take charge and reign. God says that eventually every tear will be wiped away. We find our God making his move to set up his kingdom upon this earth. And living waters will flow. Spiritual and physical healing will begin. In verse 8, in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem. It is a time when God's Spirit will flow upon this earth to all of mankind. It's also a time that we read about in Ezekiel, when the waters will start to heal the earth, to heal the destruction that man has brought upon this earth, and it's massive. And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. In verse 9, let's notice, and the Eternal shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be the Eternal is one and his name one. Verse 11, the people shall dwell in it, and no longer shall there be utter destruction. It's all over. It's come to an end. And your God has given you a glimpse into the future. He tells us that Jerusalem will be safely inhabited. When we were there, we had to be careful not to take the wrong turns. If you did, you could end up in a dangerous situation. God tells us there's a time coming when Jerusalem will be inhabited safely. Let's turn to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, God tells us about himself. And he says in verse 5, I am the Eternal, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. It's a time when mankind will know who their God is and who Jesus Christ is. God says it will be from the rising to the setting of the sun. And he says, I am the Eternal, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace, and it's only God that can bring about peace. Man does not know the way to peace. God says he is the one that makes peace. I, the Eternal, do all these things. Just notice verse 8. There'll be some changes upon this earth. God says righteousness will be like the waters that cover the sea. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. It's a picture of a different time upon this earth when our great God takes charge and rules this earth. And he says, let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. And let's notice who will create it. I, the Eternal, have created it. It's the time of our God, the millennial reign upon this earth. Man has had his 6,000 years of rule. But this is the time that our God takes charge and rules this earth. It's the time that living waters will flow. It's the way God pictures it. And they will go out from Jerusalem, spiritually and physically. God tells us that it's like righteousness being rained down upon the people. And there's never been a time like this. Mankind has never known the way to peace. Only God knows the way to peace. And he has given you a glimpse into the future of a time when he will create peace upon this earth. And it is the time we are picturing during this feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. It pictures the time when it is accomplished. Isaiah 45 and verse 18. But thus says the Eternal, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. Brethren, our God has had a plan from the beginning for human beings, and he didn't create it in vain. He gave man 6,000 years to create their own religions, their own governments, but he's reserved the last 1,000 years for himself, God's time, the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of our Savior, Jesus Christ, upon this earth, and it was not created in vain. God has a plan, and he says, the last part of verse 18, I am the Eternal, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Eternal, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. And in verse 22, he says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. It's not happened yet, but you have been given a glimpse into the future. And all mankind will have the opportunity to live God's way, to accept this way of life. And that's why God says, look to me and be saved. It's the only way it can be done, but it's in God's time and in God's order. For I am God, and there is no other. Verse 23. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. Let's notice that to me every knee will bow. And this is that time we are picturing, brother. The time that our great God takes charge and begins to reign. And it is the time when every knee will start to bow. Isaiah 35, over a few pages. Brethren, it is at this time God has given you a glimpse into the future, where every knee will bow. Once Jesus Christ begins to reign, and the living waters begin to flow, spiritually and physically. There's some changes that will take place upon this earth. And God tells us in Isaiah 35 and verse 1 that the desert will rejoice and flowers will bloom in the wasteland. The desert will sing and shout for joy, and it will be as beautiful as the Lebanon mountains and as fertile as the fields of Carmel and Sharon. Everyone will see the eternal splendor, see his greatness and power. We can see our God making changes upon this earth. The living waters that flowed out from Jerusalem will have an effect on the deserts, and they are starting to blossom and bloom like the rose. And in verse 5, the blind will be able to see, and the deaf will hear, spiritually and physically, brother. God's Spirit will be upon the face of this earth, and all of mankind will be able to understand the words of our God. And the blind will be able to see it, and the deaf will be able to hear it. The lame will leap and dance, and those who cannot speak will shout for joy. Streams of water will flow through the desert. Verse 7. The burning sand will become a lake, and dry land will be filled with springs where jackals used to live. Marsh grass and reeds will grow. There will be a highway there called the Road of Holiness. There's a spiritual way and a physical way, brother. There'll be a physical road built and a spiritual road built. Everyone will know the way. No sinner will travel that road. No fools will mislead those who follow it. Satan and the demons are restrained. There will be no deception upon this earth from that spirit world. Satan is pictured as a roaring lion who can do harm spiritually. Those whom the Eternal has rescued will travel home by that road. And let's notice, they will reach Jerusalem with gladness, singing and shouting for joy. They will be happy forever, forever free from sorrow and grief. And turn over to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. It pictures a beautiful time upon this earth, a time of protection. God tells us that the protection that the God of the universe has afforded to mankind will be there. And it tells us that God will judge with righteousness. And we'll pick up the story fold in Isaiah 11 in verse 1. And God's word tells us there will come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch will grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Eternal shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Eternal. His delight is in the fear of the Eternal, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. There will be a system set up upon this earth where God's laws will be enforced upon this earth. And it creates a new world. And it gives us a picture of the reign of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and pictures a form of government upon this earth that man has never seen. And it will create a just way for those living during this 1,000 years upon this earth. And God tells us that he will not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And let's notice how it will be done. It's a good thing. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. God's laws will create a different world. God is making some changes upon this earth, spiritually and physically. This gives us a glimpse into the future, how Jesus Christ will reign upon this earth. We've looked at the destruction. God has shown us protection and how it will come about. And he has showed us the changes that will take place during the reign of his Son, Jesus Christ, upon this earth. Verse 6 shows us more of the changes that and what it will be like during the reign of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. Pictures of beautiful times when the animals would be friendly with the children. A time when the cow and the bear shall graze together. and the young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. The nature of the animals will be changed, brethren, and the curse has been taken off this earth. God has given us a glimpse into the future of the reign of His Son, Jesus Christ, upon this earth, and the changes that will take place. The weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the eternal as the waters cover the sea. God is giving us a glimpse into the future of what will take place. He's given us a preview of His kingdom upon this earth. In the reign of Jesus Christ, there will be no temptation by Satan. The source of deception in lives will be removed. There will be a willingness to be reconciled to God, with Satan gone. The streams of living water will be able to freely nourish those who thirst, and it will create a different world, a new world. Revelation 22 and verse 1. And we'll finish up. Revelation 22 and verse 1. He showed me a pure water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. We hear it again, brethren. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. So we can see the abundance that this in itself will create. And we see the abundance of God's Spirit and also the physical food upon this earth. And God tells us that the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Everything will be healed. Everything. Verse 3. God tells us, there shall be no more curse. The curse will be taken away, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. In verse 6, God says, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets and His angel to show His servants, you and I, brethren, you and I, the things which must shortly take place. God has given us a glimpse into the future of what His millennial reign will be like for 1,000 years and the ultimate fulfillment of His plan for an eternity. God says, behold, I am coming quickly. It's just a few years away, and we pray that it will come quickly. And blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book.